For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good evening, everyone. I'm very happy to have with us as a guest teacher, Reverend Isho Fujita. Welcome. Reverend Fujita I'm not going to get this exactly right, Director of Education for the Japanese Soto Zen International Division. Is that close?
Director of International Center of Soto Zen Buddhism.
Ah, yes.
That's the official term.
And Reverend Fujita is also Dharma brother of my friend and translation collaborator, Shohaku Okamura, and spent years as a pioneer at the Pioneer Valley Zendo in Western Massachusetts, and now goes between Japan and San Francisco in the Midwest, and anyway, is going to talk to us tonight about Zazen. So, Isho Sensei, please.
Hi. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm very happy to be here. My name is Isho Fujita. Just call me Isho-san, and this is a part of my first tour as a director of International Center. And so yesterday I was at the Bloomington visiting Shohaku's Fumura Sanshin Zen community. And tomorrow I'm going to La Grosse to meet Zen priest Shoken Winikoff, the priest at the Ryumonji, and so on. So I was asked to have some presentation. So I decided to talk about one phrase in Dogen's writing, and then I think you already got a flyer. Zazen is not learning meditation. Zazen is not learning meditation. That's the title. So I have 40 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me start. So there's one Indian monk came, from India, early 6th century to China. He was very strange. He was strange because unlike other Buddhist monk from India, he didn't bring any scriptures, commentaries. Also, he did not translate scriptures into Chinese. He didn't have any lectures on Buddhist doctrines, and he didn't have any preach. So what he did is only sit facing the wall in a corner of Shaolin Temple all day long. So he's strange. He was very strange, very unique or strange. So people couldn't understand what is this guy doing, you know, all day long facing the wall. So people called him as in Japanese, Hekikan Baramon. Literally means wall-gazing Baramon is a Brahman, like a Buddhist monk. So Buddhist monk who is gazing the wall. That's what's kind of his nickname. But you know already who this guy is. His name is?
Bodhidharma.
Yeah, Bodhidharma. Good. Good answer. Bodhidharma. First patriarch of Chinese, first patriarch of Zen tradition. Yeah. And what he was really doing, people don't understand. Except maybe very few disciples of his. And maybe this is a good proof that people could not understand what he was really doing, or true meaning of his activity facing the war, or you know. Is there's a very famous and also respected Buddhist scholar named Nanzan Dosen. That's a Japanese way of reading the Chinese name. Chinese famous Buddhist scholar monk, Tang Dynasty. He wrote a book, the collection of the famous Buddhist monk. Title is Zoku Kosoden. How to translate this? Zoku Kosoden. Koso means the high-ranking monk, great monk. So biographies of great monk. In this book, this author, scholar monk, wrote about Bodhidharma, but in the chapter of the people who practice learning meditation, Shu Zen in Japanese, Shu means learning, Zen is meditation or jhana, you know, some state of mind. So this author, Nanzan Dosen, put Bodhidharma in the category of the people who practice jhana. So that implies that this author, you know, understood, interpret the meaning of Bodhidharma's activity, facing, sitting, gazing the wall, as maybe he was doing the practicing the jhana. There are lots of people those days who practice this. But according to Dogen, this categorization, you know, understand Bodhidharma's gazing the wall as studying the or learning meditation is totally miss the point. And also, he used some word, very, very regrettable. Okay. So that's why, based on this, the word shuzen, learning meditation, comes from this in this framework or context. So Dogen repeats this phrase, zazen is not learning meditation, the title of tonight's talk. In, for example, Fukan Zazengi, the very important text for us, the how to do the manual of Zazen, which should be recommended to everybody, or Zazengi in Shogogenzo, the short version of the manual of Zazen, and also Ehe Koroku, you know, the Taigen-san, Shouak-san translated the collection of Dogen's formal talk. He repeats this phrase, Zazen is not learning meditation. Behind this emphasis, Zazen is not learning meditation, there are so many people those days, the people understand as Zazen as a learning meditation. So Dogen wanted to correct this misunderstanding. Dogen wanted to present Zazen as something very different from learning meditation. Jhana is, or practicing jhana is very important practice. One point, we have to know that the jhana is one of the very important practice in Buddhism. For example, there's a term, three studies in Buddhist, general Buddhism. Kai, jo, e. Kai is precept or morality. Jo is a state of mind, you know, maybe usually translated as concentration. And A is wisdom. So morality, concentration, and wisdom. Three studies. That's a summary of Buddhist practice. Okay. or other classification or other way of describing Buddhist practice is six parameters. There's many number things in Buddhism, so you have to, we monk tested, you know, what is three studies, what is three poison, and so on, you know, five aggregates, there are many number things. The six parameter, start from the generosity, donation, to up to prajna parameter, you know, wisdom parameter, perfection of wisdom. But among those six parameters, the number five is the jhana, zenjo, you know, the concentration or you know, one point pointedness, something like that. So in the doctrine and the framework of general Buddhism, there is an emphasis of jhana, you know, one as one of the three studies or as one of the six parameters. So the common understanding of Zen meditation or sitting meditation is doing one of those things. Okay. So that implies there's other meditations or the more important than the practicing meditation is the wisdom, you know, perfection of wisdom and so on. But Dogen's understanding of Zazen is very different, in a sense, very unique. According to Dogen, Zazen encompass all Buddhist practice. So he used the expression that something like this. We have to know that Zazen is a totality of the way. So here, one understanding of Zazen is one of the many practices. Okay. Here, Dogen understanding, Zazen is totality of Buddha way. Okay. So the meaning of Zazen is very, very different. So first understanding, maybe in one word, Shu Zen, you know, the first type of understanding of Zazen is Zazen is learning meditation, learning jhana. Jhana is a state of mind, special state of mind. Okay. The second type of understanding of Zazen is Dogen's understanding. Zazen is not learning meditation, learning jhana. So as a practitioner following the Dogen's understanding of Zazen, I think he put the words Soto Zen Buddhist Meditation Center, Soto Zen. We have to clearly know what is the difference between Shu Zen and Zazen. Otherwise, in the name of Dogen's, even we say that I'm following Dogen's teaching, what we are really doing is something different. As Dogen lamented, you know, it's totally lamentable that we miss the point. So that's why he repeat this phrase, Zazen is not learning meditation, here and there, many, many places. So we have to ask question. So how to practice Zazen not as learning meditation? So what is Zazen which is totally different from learning meditation? What is the difference between them? So otherwise, even we sit, you know, as if we sit Zazen, look like Zazen, but contents may be different. Maybe shape looks same, but the content might be different. That's why this question or this sentence, Zazen is not learning meditation, is a kind of core one to me. So I have been kind of working out for a long time. So I don't have the clear answer yet, so I want to share what I have been thinking. I was pressed to think about this question, but personally, but also there's other reason, because I've been in Massachusetts since 1987 until 2005, about 17 and a half years, Western Massachusetts. I lived at the small zendo named the Pioneer Valley Zendo. And that area, maybe here too, I have ask him about what the Buddhist landscape in Chicago, you know, and he explained. And there's lots of different traditions coexisting here and there. Big one, small one, you know. It's the same in Western Mass. Lots of people are interested in Buddhism. And all kind of Buddhist traditions, Mahayana, Theravada, Tibetan, big centers like IMS, Insight Meditation Society, or Goenkaji's Vipassana Meditation Center. The first one in America is very close to my zendo. And then there's a big Tibetan group, Nankai Norbu, Dzogchen group. And then big or small Zen group. Right before I left Massachusetts, the Tetsugen Glassman, Zen Peacemaker Order, moved from New York to Montague, very close to Zendo. That way, very active place for Buddhism. So my Zendo was very small, but the people who came to my place to practice already experienced many other different kinds of meditation practice. Okay. So I'm often asked, what is the difference between like a Vipassana and Zazen practicing here, so-called Shikan Tazen? Or what is the difference between the you know, the Shikan. Shikan is like a Shamatha Vipassana practice mainly taught and practiced in Tendai tradition. People know a lot about the Buddhist meditations. Okay? So I only know about Zazen, you know, in the tradition of Soto Zen. So I have to study, I have to ask them, what kind of practice is that? And also, I have to answer as a teacher at Valley Zendo, you know, Zazen is something like this. So I was forced to think about, you know, what is the uniqueness of Zazen? Okay. What is the color of Zazen comparing to other type of Buddhist meditations? So I studied and think about it. Of course, it's not for the sake of like looking down upon, criticizing other type of meditation, or you know, put my practice higher than other practice. Rather, to clarify and deepen my understanding of Zazen. And also, at the same time, the Zazen is often translated as like a Zen meditation or sitting meditations. You know? Often this meditation is used as a translation of Zazen. And then meditation, you know, automatically creates some image in the people's mind. You know, sit and meditate on something, doing something with mind. And if I keep let people have this image, you know, evoked by the word meditation, naturally people understand Zazen as kind of Shu-Zen, learning meditation. So at a certain point, I start telling people, don't use this translation, Zen meditation or sitting meditation. Please call our practice Zazen. Because the meditation, English word, meditation is very misleading. So Zazen should be called Zazen instead of Zen meditation or sitting meditation. Mm-hmm. Most people understand Zen meditation, sitting meditation, as some activity, the activity in which we do something with mind. We use mind a certain way in a sitting posture. Okay, so this image or stereotypical image of Zazen implies that there's assumption. Okay, there's two things we have to do. First, we sit in certain posture. And then second, then we start doing something with mind. Okay, so in that sense, people understand that they are sitting plus something else. Okay, then it became clear to me. I was not taught that way. Zazen, I was taught, Zazen, sit, that's it. But people understand that they are sitting with body plus something else. So I'm often asked, Isho, I thought, okay, then what should I do next? Okay. Oh, well, we don't do anything but sitting. Ah, so maybe that's the difference. Okay. And so by kind of exchanging, you know, how they understand Zazen, the beginners or, you know, seasoned practitioner, help me to clarify, you know, what's the uniqueness of Zazen that way. And also, what helped me a lot is to experience by myself other type of meditation. As I said, the Western Massachusetts, lots of good centers. So when I have chance, money and time, I attended the 10-day course at the Goenkaji's Vipassana Meditation Center. Thanks to some Dharma connections, I could attend 10 days course twice at the IMS as a guest. You know, I don't have to pay a fee, you know, for free. So I attended twice. I did Goenkaji style Vipassana, that kind of body scanning for 10 days. And then IMS, I did labeling, you know, reaching, picking up, you know, mental note, or giving a mental note on all of my activities, moment by moment, kind of things. I behave like a zombie, you know, for 10 days. So physically, not so hard for me, because I'm kind of trained at Antaiji in a crazy session schedule. But mentally, so exhausted. As if I use a muscle I never used before. Mental muscle I never used before. So I had a very strange dream and then kind of interesting experience, 10 days. So through those experiences, I felt the different taste of sitting practice. You know, sitting for 5 days following Antaji's schedule, and then 10 days in body scanning or 10 days for labeling, very different. So kind of taste was very different. That's the second help for me to think about this. Zazen is not meditation. The third one is what I learned at Antaji. Antaji's tradition is somehow started from Sawaki Roshi, you know, so nickname is Homeless Kodo, but I never met him before. I met Sawaki Roshi's disciple, Uchiyama Roshi, and then maybe some of you already read it, the Opening the Hand of Thought, very influential book to me, and also maybe Westerners. his definition of Zazen is like this. Zazen is aiming at correct posture with your flesh and bones and leave everything to it. Do you know this definition? Okay. Aiming at correct sitting posture with flesh and bone, that means with body, and leave everything to it. That means don't do anything extra. In this definition does not sound like meditation. So at the Vare Zendo, when I'm asked, Isho, give me a definition of Zazen, I often share this definition. And some of them say, it doesn't sound like meditation, like a physical exercise. Ah, they understand Zazen as something mental. But what I learned in this tradition is Zazen is doing with body. Something doing, we do with body. So in this definition, there's no room for us to apply some method to the mind. So in my understanding, what Bodhidharma did facing the wall was this. In Bodhidharma's writing, we are not sure he's the author, he was that kind of authentic the authorship, we are not sure about it. But it's attributed to Bodhidharma. And according to his definition of wall gazing, according to my interpretation, what Bodhidharma did was this. You know, because he said, whatever happened, do not chase after for it, but do not fight against it. Let it happen as it happens, and keep your body and mind still like a wall, and keep sitting in that way. So Bodhidharma's wall gazing is somehow similar to what Uchiyama Roshi defined as Zazen. So in this practice, there is no goal to achieve. There's no fixed goal to achieve. Besides sitting with proper posture or aiming at proper posture. And we are not aiming at attain some state, some special state of mind. Maybe we can name it as a jhana, concentration. So we are freed from the obsession to goal-oriented mind. Rather, we accept whatever is happening naturally, spontaneously, at this moment. So we can be restful because we don't have to do anything. We just let it happen. So here there's no competition. There's no rank because it's impossible for us to create a rank or stages to the natural phenomena. We can have rank or stages only when we apply the human yardstick to the phenomenon. So that's why in this type of Zazen, all human struggles is ceased. Sawakiroshi describes Zazen as a ceasefire. right? It's a kind of military soldier, right? Ceasefire. Some say ceasefire, stop firing. Most of us spend many hours of, you know, target and then or fail. Okay, once more. So Zazen is stop this kind of thing. That's why Dogen Zen describes Zazen as a Dharma gate of peace and ease. So I have to ask you a question. Your Zazen is a Dharma gate of peace and ease. Do you agree with this? If it's not a Dharma gate of peace and ease, you are doing Shuzen. You are learning, you are doing, in the name of Zazen, you are doing learning meditation. Seriously, maybe, or some too seriously. So in this context, what, however sublime the goal is, if you are going to attain something which does not exist now, is nothing but the activity of the desire. So set aside those type of activities and with your whole body and mind continuously or wholeheartedly aiming at correct sitting posture. That's the more concrete way of describing Zazen, not as learning meditation. And this sounds, you know, great or easy, but actually it's very difficult to do because we are so strongly conditioned to chase after or pursue the goal or aim, always try to attain something which does not exist right now. We call it end gaining mind. We are end gainer, right? So if we approach to Zazen with end-gaining mind or as end-gainer, naturally Zazen becomes Shuzen, not as Zazen. We transform Zazen into Shuzen, learning meditation. As soon as we hear, you know, something like this, you know, many people ask, then what should I do to do Zazen, not as a learning meditation? This question, how can I do? You know, tell me how. This is coming from the end-gaining mind. Zazen cannot do. We cannot do Zazen as Zazen, applying some method, applying some how-to method. So in a sense, Zazen cannot be presented as a bunch of how-to. Sounds very strange, right? Because Zazen has been presented pretty often as a bunch of how to do with your leg, how to do with your hand, how to do with your eyes, how to do with your mind, right? How to regulate your body, how to regulate your breath, how to regulate your mind. But if we follow those instructions as if they are how to, we are doing something. Look like Zazen, but Shuzen. So in that sense, Zazen is somehow very elusive thing, elusive activity, elusive practice. So in order to explain this strange quality of Zazen, I often use the example, metaphor. One of them is magical eye, magic eye, magic eye. It's a book, it's a picture. Do you know magic eye? Magic mm-hmm. eye is a two-dimensional patterns. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you have a chance, try to go to the bookstore and ask magic eye. It's a beautiful computer, maybe generated patterns, two-dimensional. It looks beautiful, but soon you get bored. But there's a trick here. With ordinary eyes, which means ordinary eyes always try to focus onto something, focus on something, and then try to find the meaning of it. You know, we use our eyes to look for something, something good, something bad. This is ordinary eyes. As far as you are watching this magic eye pattern with ordinary eyes, just ordinary patterns. But you forget about the agenda that look for something, and then relaxing your eyes and eyeballs, that means relax your whole body and mind. Without no agenda, but very attentively waiting, but keep watching, then suddenly the three-dimensional picture pop up surprisingly unexpected way. This is magic eye experience. Have you ever tried that? I recommend. This is a good example. As far as you are watching the pattern with your ordinary eyes, ordinary patterns. But when you transform or change the mode from ordinary eye to magic eye, what you see is beautiful three-dimensional pictures. Right. So it's just not a matter of the eyes. I think your whole quality or mode of your being is changed. Then we can experience this world totally differently. So ordinary eyes, magic eyes. So Zazen, come back to Zazen. So my question is, Shuzen, maybe we are doing Zazen-like activity with ordinary body and mind. That's Shuzen, right? With end-gaining mind, with maybe like a mind is trying to control the body, and applying the method, the how-to method. And so on. There's those, I can list up those characteristics of the ordinary way of doing Zazen-like activities. And Zazen, for Zazen to be Zazen, when we do it, we have to do it with magic eye-like body and mind. Or I can say in other ways, when we are doing Zazen, our body become like a magic eye. Our body transformed from the ordinary body mind to the magic eye like body mind. And this magic eye, in this magic eye, there's no between. Ordinary eyes, ordinary picture. Magic eye, three-dimensional picture. There's nothing between them. Very, very precise. I have experience. It took me a long time to understand what magic eye is like. You know, my daughters, you know, quickly, oh yeah, yeah, wow, you know. It doesn't even happen to me for a long time. I'm very frustrated. You know. And suddenly, oh, okay, and then I try to make, I try to see more clearly, then ordinary eyes disappears. No. Very, very subtle. But very, very precise. With this experience, I got some hint to think about that. can we practice Zazen with magic eye-like body mind? So without changing anything, those items, you know, smell, or temperature, you know, visionary field, sound, and also body sensations. If we change the mode of experiencing those world and myself, it show up totally differently, totally different way. As if two-dimensional picture show up as the three-dimensional picture. Another example to articulate the difference between Shuzen, learning meditation, and Zazen is, do you know the Alexander technique? It's a very old body work. It's the body education kind of thing about posture. I have a chance to learn it in Massachusetts, and also now I'm still learning in Japan. In this Alexander technique, it's emphasized one of the discovery of the founder of this technique, Alexander, F.M. Alexander, we call it, the Australian guy. One of his insight is there is a two type of muscles in the body. Here, maybe tentatively, I call it outer muscle and inner muscle. Outer muscle is a bunch of group of muscles you can control with your mind. Okay, if you want to pick up something, you can, you know, miraculously, you know, my hand move and pick it up, bring the food to my mouth, you know. Right, and also we can train it, you know, pump up, right, the outer muscle. But there is another group of muscle, inner muscle. The outer muscle is kind of goal oriented. Inner muscle is very, very, also very active, right? Sometimes aggressive. But inner muscle is very quiet, and it's covering, its function, main function is sustaining the posture when you are standing still or moving, maintaining the posture. And our problem, according to F.M. Alexander, is coming from the fact that outer muscle invades the territory of the inner muscle. In other words, outer muscle is doing what is supposed to be done by the inner muscle. So in order to, for example, sustain the posture, we overuse the outer muscle. In a sense, outer muscle is suppressing the natural function of the inner muscles. And that is the background reason for lots of problems. Of course, physical problem and also mental problem. So Alexander technique is teaching us, you know, this is what should be done by outer muscle. This is what should be done by the inner muscle. Okay, try to harmonize outer and inner muscle relationship. Okay. So, by extending this two concepts, outer muscle, inner muscle, maybe in our mind there is outer muscle-like mind and the inner muscle-like mind. For example, outer muscle-like mind is the mind we are very familiar with, that figuring out what to do, you know, planning, or figuring out the tactics, you know, how to get it, how to avoid it, you know, that sort of thing. We face it during Zazen, right? Lots of things happening, planning, memorizing those things. That's outer muscle, like the mind. What is the inner muscle like mind? That's, for example, intuition. Well, many people call it intuition, heart voice, inner voice, or mindfulness, and so on. There is the function of, maybe we can call inner muscle like mind. It's much deeper than the outer muscle. Even I can say the inner muscle like mind is causing the outer muscle, kind of producing the outer muscles, much more fundamental than the outer muscles. But here, same problem is happening. The outer muscle-like mind is invading, always invading the inner muscle-like mind. The same thing is happening in the body and the mind, right? So the practice, the point of the practice is somehow I can describe to bring back or regain the good and harmonious relationship between the inner mind, body, inner muscle, mind, and outer muscle and mind. I'm not saying outer muscle is bad, evil, we have to eliminate them. No, it's a balance. So maybe for you, this kind of metaphor sounds very strange. You know why Isho is talking about magic eye? Or outer muscle, inner muscle, sounds strange, maybe. But I use those example or metaphor to clarify or articulate the difference between Zazen and Shuzen in Japanese, my so-called meditation. And for most of us, the Shuzen is very easy to understand because that's what we often do. Right? But if we practice Zazen as a Shuzen, it's nothing but a mental exercise or training. Right? We do at the gym. You know? And then we can measure how much I get the muscle, or we can measure it, lots of index, using lots of index, how much I made progress, lose how many pounds, or I get how many pounds of muscle in 3 months or something like that. We are very familiar with that type of effort or practice. But if we import that kind of mindset to Zazen, stop being Zazen and become something else. So for us to practice Zazen taught by Dogen as correctly transmitted Buddha Dharma from Shakyamuni Buddha to us, we have to keep in mind what's the uniqueness of Zazen. So how to protect Zazen as Zazen from mistook as the learning meditation is very important, at least for myself. So I wanted to share this poor thinking presentation with you tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you got some point.
It's a little later than we usually end, but I do want to have some time for comments or questions if a couple of people have questions for Isho-san about his sharing of Zazen with us, which I very much appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Any comments or questions? David, please.
I just wanted to say thank you for coming and thank you for that talk. It's a very helpful reminder and helpful for my practice.
I hope I did not cause more confusion.
Like Suzuki Roshi in Zen Mind Begin to Find Out, he talks about no gain, money.
Yes.
And okay, so it's similar, not the same thing, but it's easy to forget. So thank you very much.
I think one thing I want to say, we should think that as much more primitive. Primitive. Because to me, Zazen is something what Buddha did under the Bodhi tree. That's what we are doing. And Buddha did not apply any method, existing method, when he sat. He just simply sat. Right? Because he did yogic meditation and self-mortification intensively. But he gave up. Right? So nothing left over but sit. Right? And nobody taught him to sit this way or that way. Somehow he bloomed. Right? Naturally, spontaneously that happened. Zazen was born. So can we practice Zazen like that? Not applying what he said to me. Hands should be like this, If we follow the instruction that way, we're just putting the body and mind into some mold, shape, some plastic model, imposing from outside. But that's why Zazen is not the gate of peace and joy and ease or something like that. Imposing. So we have to rethink about Zazen as something more like that. From inside, like give body and mind freedom, and then out of freedom, the order emerges, and then that is a Zazen. So Zazen does not exist at the beginning, and then impose us, ready-made way, and then impose us. Let's change the approach. Rather, coming from inside, spontaneously, we reach Zazen. That's these couple of years I'm thinking. So I'm kind of rewriting the instructions. Not yet finished. But. Yeah, anyone else?
I'm just to comment. We've been thinking about how do we give instructions in Zazen instruction. And what you're saying tonight helps me remember that part of the essence of Zazen instruction is to deconstruct the instructions.
Yeah, so it is.
Zazen is alive. Mm. And we don't know what it is. And yet here we are.
Yeah, by emphasizing shape too much, we tend to fabricate the shape without agreement. And without agreement, did you get agreement with your body and mind to sit that way? If body and mind agree with it, we have much less trouble in sitting. But most of us, I'm talking about myself, I tend to impose Zazen should be like this, no matter what. Right? So there's no understanding and agreement there. That's why naturally body and mind rebel against it. Mind tend to escape from the, this kind of order. So thinking or sleeping, the body rebel against it, creating lots of pains. And irritation and so on. I think something wrong with this approach. And that's not what Dogen meant in his manuals.